right. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. My name is Mike, and I am thrilled today to be joined by my friend, Gina McClain.
How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I answer that the same way every time.
You know, it's your thing.
It is.
It's your thing.
It's my go-to, isn't it?
And it's Gina McClain. How you doing?
How you doing?
It's almost like Joe. You're like our Joey at the podcast.
Much like Joey.
How you doing? And then I awkwardly just stare.
I don't know. Like, I feel more like Phoebe in this podcast. Like things that are in my head came out of my mouth and I go, oh, that sounded so much better in my head.
I want to be a Chandler. Like, I feel like I was to pick one, I would be like,
you would choose Chandler.
Well, I just feel like I'm sarcastic, maybe not intentionally. I just naturally I try to be sarcastic and then I'm not. And then I realize I just need to be quiet.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is exactly.
I want to go for Monica. That's who I want to be. TiVo, who would you be? Who would you be on Friends? We should introduce our guest.
Well, I was going to say, we should introduce it. Yes. So let's introduce our guest. So we are missing one of our friends. We're missing Kellen. Kellen is on the road, and he is doing amazing things. And
it's not the same without him.
It's not the same without him. But you know what? We must endure. We must press on. And that's what we're going to do today. So we are excited to have our guest today. And today we are going to be talking with TiVo McCrary. TiVo, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Glad to be here.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And TiVo, you are the next gen pastor at Cornerstone Church. Did I say that right? In Marion, Illinois, right? I get that right?
That is correct. Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois. Now, TiVo, are you native to Illinois? Or tell us a little bit about yourself. Let our listeners get a little insight into your world, TiVo.
Right. So I was born in Huntsville, Alabama, so Northern Alabama. Got saved at a very young age of 12. At 13, felt called into full-time ministry. Didn't know what that looked like. The church didn't know what that looked like. So I just started serving everywhere I could, from bus ministry to inner city ministry to community outreach and women's ministry. Men, like anywhere they would let me do anything, I did it.
Wow.
And ended up high school year co-oping, so half day at school, half day at church, and was the office courier, ran the tithes and offering. And so I've just always loved church and loved culture that surrounds a healthy church system. Before moving to Southern Illinois, lived in Birmingham and worked at Church of the Highlands in their Tuscaloosa campus, leading their kids ministry there. And it's where I fell even more in love with the thought of how a culture in a volunteer context can literally shape the way that you do ministry.
Yeah. So I'm stuck on two things. One, TiVo, what did you do in the women's ministry? Just curious about that, you know. Sounds atypical.
So, women's ministry serving was more like, I'm going to make copies.
I love that.
Okay.
So I was confused.
I get it. The other thing I got stuck on was Church of the Highlands. Like, you spent time on staff at Church of the Highlands. That speaks pretty highly. Not easy to get on staff at Church of the Highlands, but I hear what you're saying when you say culture was deeply embedded in you, because that is definitely something that Highlands is known for.
Yeah. So, speaking of getting stuck on stuff.
I get stuck on stuff.
I got two things, TiVo.
Yeah.
Your name is the most unique name.
Isn't it the best?
That we've had on our podcast thus far and probably ever will. So I'm just going to be honest with you. TiVo, where did TiVo come from? Is that like a family name, or is that like, I had a TiVo and I had a child and you're TiVo?
You know, it's a really great and boring story all at the same time. So my real name is not TiVo. At the age of 13, when I started serving in church, the interns of the church were very influential in my life. And one day, I guess when the TiVo came out, they came to me and they said, hey, we're going to start calling you TiVo. So 13, I just turned 30 this past weekend.
There you go.
And ever since, everyone has called me TiVo. The only person that doesn't is my mom and my wife.
Got it.
And I haven't been able to dodge it. So it just kind of stuck.
It stuck.
That is so funny. Was it in the women's ministry that gave you that nickname?
Everything goes back to the women's ministry.
Stuck there.
Speaking of women's ministry, I have an interesting fact about TiVo. So I was on the church website looking up just information about him. Stalking.
You can, as otherwise known as.
Yes. So they have a question on their website. One thing most people don't know about me, speaking of TiVo, and TiVo, you have been a featured extra in a Hallmark movie. Come on now.
Yes, I have.
I'm seeing a connection
and that's
here.
Probably where my women's ministry ties.
So I'm noticing a trend. I'm starting to wonder. Keep going, please. You're doing great.
Yes, that's probably one of my greatest claim to fame, which I'm on screen for like a minute tops out of the entire hour and a half movie, but spent like 2 weeks shooting it with these Disney stars at the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville. It was a great experience. The staff here like tracked down the movie at the local library, like, and had a viewing without me even knowing about it.
The local library.
Yeah, so
we dusted off the archives at the local library.
It's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
That is awesome. That's well, for my wife, who is a frequent viewer of every Hallmark movie with the same plot in every movie with a lot of the same characters, just different titles, she would appreciate that I'm talking to a celebrity.
Can we link to that in the show notes? Because we're kind of in Hallmark movie season right now.
Well, you're going to have to link to your local library to go and find.
That was a Phoebe moment.
Limited edition.
Limited edition. That's a good one.
All right. So TiVo's joining us today not to talk about just women's ministry and Hallmark movies and everything, but we're talking about the thing that every children's ministry rises and falls on, and that is our volunteers. And we want to talk today specifically about building a volunteer culture. And TiVo, I would love just to kind of start the conversation as far as some of your thoughts when it comes to culture, specifically as it deals with our volunteers.
Right. Culture, I think, is a very unique thing in and of itself. And talking about culture, there's usually people that fall into the trap of saying, well, our church doesn't have a culture. And I think if you fall into that trap, the culture is that very thing, that you think you have no culture and you're letting that drive it.
So
I love what Andy Stanley always says, do for one what you wish you can do for many. And that's usually what I try to do when it comes to building a volunteer culture. We can't always do everything for everyone, but if we do it for one, what would it look like if everyone in your ministry started leading with a healthy culture? So the big thought around this that I like to wrestle with is that if the lifeblood of your church depended on your volunteer culture, would your church thrive or will it shrivel up and die? And so what I mean by that is,
that's powerful.
A lot of us are not privileged to have large staff, and the majority of churches and ministries are run by volunteers. So if we're not taking care of our volunteers, if we're not creating a safe and thriving environment, if we're not knowing them personally, what are we doing with our time? Because they're the biggest asset that we have to create a life-giving culture for volunteers that will ultimately translate into the way that you can more effectively minister to your families and your church.
I think that's a great question. Like if we ended the podcast here right now, as far as the episode, and just said our takeaway is to go and spend some time with your volunteer team or just with whoever in your, to just go and wrestle with this question. If the lifeblood of your church, okay, depended on your volunteer culture, which would we all say, we would all say what? Well, yes, absolutely it does. Of course it does. So if that's true, then is yours thriving or is yours dying? Mm-hmm. And if either, whatever you answer that, why is it that? Why is it thriving? So that you can continue to keep thriving, or why is it dying? And how can we change that around to do that? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk about how to take your volunteer culture in a thriving direction to do that. And if you're already thriving, just some things that can help you continue to thrive in that. So when you talk about, as far as the volunteer culture, things that churches and organizations need to have the right volunteer culture, what are the things that you would say to them?
Right. So I think there are, no matter where you are, whether you're paid, you're a part-time volunteer, or you're full-time and you have a staff of 15 people. I remember when I first started at Church of the Highlands, it was one of those, hey, we're going to stipend you to do this, but you still have to have a full-time job thing. So I was assistant general manager at a hotel working 50 hours a week. And then doing this part-time ministry thing with Highlands. And that part-time ministry thing, I think we would all say, is never part-time. And so it's like 50 hours at the hotel and then about 30 hours a week at church. And it all rose and fell on the volunteer culture. And some of the things I've learned is that the right system, the right people, and ultimately the right culture is what every organization and church needs in order to have a thriving volunteer ministry. And so we can dive a little more into that if you guys want to.
Yeah, let's camp out on those three thoughts, because I think those are critical things. Right systems, right people, right culture. So when you say right systems, let's kind of land here for a little bit and talk about the right systems. Talk to us and unpack what you mean by that.
Right. So I think systems is one of those very flashy words in ministry right now. Everyone's looking for the right system to do this, the right system for assimilation for volunteers, the right systems for first-time guests. And what I mean by systems is simply, how are we onboarding our people? How are we tracking their attendance? How are we pastoring them? So whether we are officially pastors, like have that title, been ordained, or you're simply a volunteer director, you work in part-time, you're getting a stipend, or you're just doing it for free, I think God has called us to minister to and pastor the people that we're leading. So how are we onboarding? How are we pastoring them consistently? And then what are we doing to ensure that the system of all of that, whatever we want to call it, assimilation process, or some people use the growth track process, whatever your system is officially, how can you translate that to your children's ministry? So the big thought, I guess, is the ability to keep up your vision, because I personally believe that if we as leaders are leaking our vision and continually talking about our vision and our wins, that our volunteers will pick up on that. And that's where that system becomes very critical. And so I know a lot of times I fell into the trap of, oh crap, Sunday's coming, I need people. Hey, calling up random parents that have never served in our ministry and throwing them into a classroom.
Right.
And I would say that is a wrong system on your onboarding side. Mm. While, yes, we need fast classrooms, you're undercutting the culture by just throwing people that may not be called into ministry, may not like kids at all. Yeah, they might have kids, but that doesn't necessarily they love everyone's kids type of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things that I wrestle with in the system component of it. What does your onboarding process look like? Mm-hmm. I know a couple episodes ago, y'all talked with Austin out at Gwinnett Church, and he talked about how they throw confetti.
Yeah.
And like, it's fun things like that, that if you put in place culture-wise, that will make people go, man, I really want to be part of that kids team.
Yep.
Because they look like they're having fun.
Everything you said there, I think we could bottle that. That's a powerful conversation just in that. You know, earlier you referenced culture, and I think, if let me summarize what I think you said, there are some who might say, I don't really have a volunteer culture. Well, that's not true. They have a volunteer culture. It exists. The question is it an intentional culture that's elevating the right things, right? Same with your systems. You know, systems exist. And that system might be, like you said, I've got holes and I'm just going to run down a list of parents who have kids and say, hey, I need you to serve in kids ministry this Sunday. That's your system. It's an unintentional system. But it's still a system.
It's a system.
It's still a system. Right. And so which is what makes that point so powerful, in that right systems are going to elevate the values of your ministry. The right systems are going to elevate the culture or define the type of culture that you want
right
in your ministry. So all the things you referenced, your onboarding, the way that you shepherd. And again, I can't emphasize this enough, TiVo. I think we always have to recognize that we have full lives and we have busy lives. And so it's less about recruiting a volunteer and putting them on a schedule and expecting that they're going to show up prepared to teach a Bible lesson to kids. It has so much more to do with, how are we shepherding them?
Yeah.
You know, and do we have a system in place that loves them well and helps them to grow, so that as they're leading in your ministry, they're growing themselves as well.
Well, I'm curious about, as far as your systems, you mentioned, you know, the recruitment side of things, and we all have a recruitment system in place, right? Much like you said, whether you're just going down a list of parents, some of our systems are, we plead from the stage and just say we need volunteers, or we put an announcement in the bulletin for like 5 weeks straight, or we put it on our website, and that's our system. And if you're not happy with that system, then you need to change that system. So I'm curious, at your church, TiVo, what is your system? Just if you can just quickly highlight, like, what do you guys do on the recruitment side? What does that look like for you guys?
Right. So we fall in line with more of a pathway, growth track, assimilation process. So we take all of our new members through a 4-week class of steps of discovering their purpose.
Okay.
And what we found is, when you plug someone into their God-given skill set and their purpose, that they're more likely to serve in those ministries for the long term.
Okay.
Over now, there's nothing wrong with like a busy season coming up. We know back to school, there's going to be a lot of people, so we may make a stage announcement.
Sure.
But we try to shy away from that, because we never want it to seem like we need people.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds weird, because we do need people.
Always.
But we don't just need anyone.
Right.
We need people that are passionate. We need people that are caring, that have certain spiritual gift things, whether it's preschool or working with elementary kids. like, just because we need someone doesn't mean I'm willing to lower the standards that's set by this system to grab a mom or grab a dad in a pinch. Like, it's very rare that we have to close a classroom or turn parents away.
Yeah.
But I would rather do that than stick them in a room with a volunteer that does not want to be there, type of thing. And, you know, over all these years I've been doing this, God has never sent us any more kids than what we could handle. And like, all of this stress goes into staffing the weekend, staffing the Sunday. Right now at the church I'm at, I'm over centrally three different campuses, and we run two services per campus, type of thing. When I was at Highlands, it was five services at that one campus. And I just remember being stressed out that there were holes in the schedule, but there's never one Sunday where God didn't take care of us. And so our system is very much gift-based, spiritual gift-based, aspirational type of thing. So it's not putting notices in bulletins, putting them on websites.
Right.
Our pastor is big on leveraging stage time if he has to.
Yeah.
And so we usually reserve that for when we're doing VBS, because we all know that we need lots of people to pull VBS out. And the other thing that we've learned from pulling back on the stage announcements is when the pastor does say it, it doesn't just become more noise because he says it all the time.
Sure.
So when if he's saying it more rare, it's one of those like, oh, we should listen to this, because it's not often that he's standing on stage saying, hey, we need more children's workers. Yeah. We need more parking lot attendees.
Yep. No, totally. Totally agree with that. And I think it's great. And again, it's not, you know, if you do a stage announcement or if you do a bulletin, if that's your system and it's working for you and it's thriving, then that's great. We're just saying, hey, if you find yourself on the side of, hey, when it's getting the right people, and I love what you said as far as, because I agree with this, you would agree with this, TiVo, Gina, you would agree with this, is that anybody can be a children's ministry volunteer. Not everybody, though, should be a children's ministry volunteer, because it's finding the right fit. And like you said, TiVo, with their right gifting as well. So it's just looking at your system and saying what is working for you, what's not working. There's a variety of things that you could do. One of the things I like to do that I know the church we're at, one of their systems that they have for finding volunteers, then they do kind of like what you just mentioned, TiVo. Their pastor doesn't get on stage a lot and ask for volunteers, but when he does, we lean in a little bit more. But the majority of their volunteers come from their other volunteers, because they lean into their current small group leaders and say, hey, we need more people like you, because you get our vision, you get what we're about. And who do you know that we should be talking to in terms of, you know, a family member or friends that you have or coworkers or whatever it may be, because it's the system of like attracts like. So variety of ways you can go about it. It's just finding the system that works best for you.
I love that you brought that up, because I actually, as we were talking, jotted that down and was going to talk about it later, because I think we underestimate how powerful the testimony of the people that are currently serving in our ministry is. For example, at our church, our volunteers have t-shirts. They're not required to wear them. And I can usually sense a pulse of they're loving it when they're wearing the t-shirts outside of church, or when they're wearing the t-shirts on Sundays they're not serving. Because what I know is our volunteers are essentially walking billboards that we don't have to pay. So if they love showing up and serving, they're going to tell other people that they, hey, I can't sit with you in service today, but I'll catch up with you after. I get to go back here and I'm going to love on these kids.
Sure.
Versus if they're like, well, I got to go back here and serve these kids, and they're grumpy and they're angry, what is that conveying? So I think that plays a lot into it as well, because if your ministry is thriving and it looks fun and people are taken care of and they're having a good time, I think it just becomes really attractional. And we like to consider our ministry volunteers like a small group. And so one of our systems is we take each service and break it down, and that service has a service leader, and that service leader is responsible for those volunteers. What that means is it's not just scheduling. I like to tell them, if you find out that someone's not coming because they sent you an email on Saturday at 11:30 p.m., you're not doing your job right. Like, we should be in their lives. We should be asking for prayer requests. We should be like creating this small group culture, even within our volunteer culture, to where every person is known, every person has a name, and every person's cared for.
I love that. We around our church, we like to say everyone has a story to tell and a step to take. And as a ministry leader, there's no way, you know, that I could, I mean, even if the volunteer team that I led was 30 strong, let's say it was 30 strong, there's no way that I could know all 30 in such a way that I would know their story and know their step. And even then, if I knew what their step was, that I could walk with them and build such a relationship with them to help them to take that step, you know? And so to build in layers like that is just, it's brilliant, because you're putting somebody in their life to know them, right? To know not just who they are as a volunteer for you, but to know who they are as a person and as a Christ follower. I think that's powerful.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I love all these things about systems. And I think the takeaway here is, what is working for you? Yeah. What is not working for you? And if it's working for you, sit down and identify what system you have in place that mm-hmm. is helping you get those results mm-hmm. so that you can continue to do that. Because if you don't know what you're doing that's getting you to where you're at, you might not be able to continue it going down the road.
Right.
So it's important. And vice versa, if it's not working for you, what can we do to change? And again, we've touched on numerous things as far as the right systems in terms of recruitment, in terms of onboarding, in terms of training and all that. Like,
yeah,
so much to talk about.
There is. I want to touch on one thing because I think it's helpful for us. It's a little introspective and probably hard.
Okay.
But I think it's important to ask ourselves, I think, for the ministry leader who would say, because I have been in that place before, who would say, there's no other system that works other than for my senior pastor to stand on that platform and say, we need volunteers. We need volunteers.
Yeah.
Because that's what produced the most. Things changed for me when I had to stop, because Tivo, the point you made about other volunteers recruiting other volunteers, right? Or Mike, you mentioned that, I guess, as a system for the church mm-hmm. that you're at. New volunteers come because they come from the existing volunteer team.
Yeah.
I had to ask myself some really hard questions years ago when I realized that new recruits came from platform please and not from other volunteers saying, hey, come join me. Mm-hmm. And I had to ask myself why.
Yeah.
You know, and the big pivotal question is, would I want to serve in my ministry?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Would I want to do what I'm asking these volunteers to do? And it's literally, I went into one of the 2-year-old rooms and I sat down in the middle of it and I just thought through, what is it that we ask a 2-year-old volunteer to do on a regular basis, on a weekly basis? And would I want to do that? Like, how am I preparing them? How am I setting them up for the win? Do they even know what the win is? And I had to ask some really, really hard questions because I was in a mode that I didn't realize was not serving me well. You know, I was basically on a sinking ship and I was asking people to get on it. And nobody wants to get on a sinking ship. They're willing to pray for your sinking ship.
Absolutely.
You know, but they don't want to be on it.
I'll fund your sinking
ship. I'm not going to get on it with you. So yeah, I think all that's really good.
That's great. All right. So you talked about right systems. You mentioned a second thing that churches and organizations need, and you talked about the right people.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Right. And so I think the funny thing about these three things is they kind of bleed into each other a little bit. So we've already addressed some of the right people thing. Like, we don't just need warm bodies. We need people that are passionate about it. But what does that passion look like? And I think for every church, it's different. So you have to figure out, what is your win? What's your end goal? Like, for us, we're engaging kids and empowering families. So everything that we're doing, we're looking at it through that lens. So even like the volunteer culture, the things that we're doing in our ministry, events-wise, curriculum-wise, how is this connecting the family? So when it comes to right people, it's more of your ministry would not be as successful unless you have the right people on the bus type of thing, which
it's
a hard thing to wrestle with, because I think everyone does have gifts to bring to the table. But this particular point, I think it gets nitty gritty. It's kind of like what you were just saying, Gina, like sitting in that classroom and going, okay, knowing that we ourselves might not even be full-time employees or not getting paid, but putting ourselves in the seat of that volunteer that's coming in and trying to think through, what if it's a single mom and she had a rough week, and is the twos room really the best room for her if she has to do all these 10 steps? So like breaking it down that far to making sure that the people are in the right spaces. I can tell you numerous stories about how we had volunteers, particularly in our elementary environment, that we were shoving them on stages because they didn't want to be small group leaders, but they wanted to serve. So we would put them on stages and they were mediocre at best, and it was affecting the kids and how they saw the fun of the program. But once we sat down and like got to the heart of their passion, like a handful of them just loved connecting with families. So it was a simple step of moving them from a stage role to the check-in team or the hospitality, whatever you call your first touch for kids, and they thrive.
Yeah.
And so it's just, but we can't get to that point if we're constantly just trying to throw bodies in rooms.
So
that's, I think, how it kind of builds on top of each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I know Jessica Beeler would say that sometimes the worst thing you can do is take a problem and throw the first volunteer at it. You know, the first willing person at it.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, again, the systems bleed over into the people and vice versa, all these things we're going to talk about. But the right system has the ability to deliver something that is in line with your vision. Mm-hmm. So if we have the systems to find the right people and we have those in place, and what we're getting as a result of our system is the right people. You talk about, Tivo, that when you have the right people, you want to continue to build and invest in these people that you never stop investing in them and building them up. So talk to us about what that looks like
right.
for you at your church.
So practically for us, and this is where when I normally share this stuff, the first thought in everyone's mind is, I'm way too busy for this.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say that we're all way too busy for this. But if it's important, we have to make time mm-hmm. for it. Me and my wife have been married now 4 years, dated 7 before that. And we have this beautiful 1.5-year-old. And I didn't know busy until he came into our life. And so I'm not saying that because I can pull it off, because I know there's people out there that have way more kids than me and their lives are a little more chaotic than mine. But it's the continual investing and building. So what it looks like for us is once a quarter, we don't call them meetings. We call them community nights for our volunteers. The reason we don't use the word meetings is because meetings, so a lot of people means I'm going to come and I'm going to hear policy. And that's not what we're doing.
Totally. Yeah.
So at these community nights, we're feeding them. Now, there might be pushback on, well, we don't have a big budget. Well, sure. I encourage you to potluck it. Like,
totally.
Right. People love to cook. People love to share their gifts.
Yeah.
So we're playing games together, like dumb minute to win it games, bouncing ping pongs out of that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. and so we're seeing each other in a different light. So not in a professional, oh, it's Sunday game time. But once a quarter, we're getting together, eating, breaking bread. I think it's like true gospel to do life that way. We see Jesus in the New Testament meeting with people over food and home. We're not meeting in a home for this community night. We're meeting at the church, but it's food. It's fun. There's a little bit of an inspirational moment. We talk very minimum policies and procedures.
Right.
So we save policies and procedures for 2 times a year, the beginning of the year and right before school goes back. And so what we're doing is creating this event that where you come and it's completely counterculture to what you may have experienced in the past as far as a children's ministry or kids ministry meeting. And so what we found is our volunteers look forward to this. They're blocking out the date on their calendar. We give it to them. We plan them before the year ends and give them all the dates for the next year that we're doing it. And it just really becomes a big celebration for our team. We celebrate the amount of salvations, the amount of kids that have been baptized. And we really just keep the main thing, the win in front of them, big vision casting night.
So you do policy procedure training twice a year. I hear that rhythm.
Right.
And how often do you do the community nights?
The quarterly, you said?
So the community night is quarterly.
It's quarterly. Okay, so you've got a quarterly rhythm in there of celebrating and elevating. That's good.
There's a system there.
There is, yeah.
Twice a year, we're going to hit the things you need to know so that you can do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And then quarterly, we're going to get you together. And I love what you said because it's not just a meeting for a meeting's sake. There's a time spent of connecting with one another, connecting with your team to let them know that, hey, we're in this together. There's a time of like, hey, we're going to share with you some information, but this is just like, it might be up-to-date information. It might be a peek behind the curtain, like, hey, nobody else knows this, but you guys are invested here. We want to let you know this is coming. Yeah. And then there's a time of inspiration where you celebrate stories. And I just think that's important. And I think, again, building in a system to build and invest in your volunteers, and you can't do everything, but it's picking your spots. And I love what you've done, TiVo, of picking two times a year to do the big things, a heavy lift of what you need to know, and then quarterly. And like you said, when people start blocking out on their calendars, it's like, hey, we're going to be there. That says something to what you're doing. And I think there are so many opportunities. I think if we just stop and think about the everyday, because I think there's a weekly touch point that you could build and invest in your volunteers. Because my guess is all of us have, again, going back to the word system, that's going to be our key word for the day, kids, is that every week you may have a touch point in that you send out an email, whether it's your lesson, it's your small group questions, it's a whatever. And instead of just sending it and saying, hey, here you go, we'll see you Sunday, or sending a text saying, hey, I noticed you didn't respond to my planning center invite. Are you coming this Sunday?
Right.
Like every time we reach out, whether it's verbally, whether it's personally, whether it's in a text or whatever, attaching something to that can help build and invest in them. Something as simple as like, hey, I heard this quote this week and it reminded me of why we do what we do. Thank you for this. Yeah. Hey, I read this verse this morning. I wanted to share that. Hey, I heard this podcast, the Orange Kids podcast, and you pass it along, right? Hey, I read this, or that there's so many simple things. It's not adding to your already busy plate of things that you have to do, but it's just being intentional with every interaction to say, how can I use this opportunity to build and invest in these people who are the right people that I want on my team, right?
Right.
Right.
So, okay.
So that leads us.
Yeah, no. Saying if we have the right systems that gives the right people, then that helps produce the right culture. And I love what you've said before. And you said something about culture, saying that culture is, it's something you feel, it's an environment. So just talk to us about how when you have the right systems, they get the right people, and you're building and investing in them, it helps set the right culture.
Right, right. And so when I was at Highlands, it was one of those things where everyone that came, you would ask them, why did you come? What made you come back? From the children's ministry to the adults, and they all would say it was a breath of fresh air. It was very life-giving, which is also becoming a very cliche. Our church is life-giving. Well, what does that look like? So in the Highlands context, or even where I'm at now at Cornerstone, we're trying to create engaging, attractional environments that teach biblical principles. So still biblically firm, but also attractional. And so what does that culture look like? I think that culture looks like a lot of what the Orange principles are, showing up repeatedly and showing up unexpectedly. And so our culture here is built around the premise that if there's a huge one-time life event happening in someone, one of our volunteers' life, if we cannot, like, we would do everything we can to make it to that event. So we're not going to miss it. So if one of my team leaders or one of the volunteers invites me to their wedding and I'm free, I'm going to go. Doesn't mean I have to go to every wedding I'm invited to, but we're building that into our culture, right, from our leaders that lead the actual room people or the volunteers. So from the top down, leading in that way, something that you feel that can't be explained. So when we show up, for example, at a kid's basketball game or a piano recital or a ballet recital, we can't do it for every kid, but our culture is that when we can, we will. And so I think it's interesting, Mike, that you were talking about like the whole, the text and the touch point, because I think with everything that we send out, every email, every text message, every meeting, every phone call, you're basing it on relational equity. And so if you don't put something inspiring inside of that, the next time you send it, they're going to be less likely to open it if it's just, I need this, I need this, I need this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're really fighting to build a culture where we don't need you. We want you to be part of our team.
Good.
And because we want you so much, and because we believe God has gifted you to be on the children's ministry team, we're going to bless you by showing up randomly at your events. We're going to ask you how we can pray for you. We're going to send a goodie basket to the hospital if your wife has a baby, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's the little things that a lot of times paralyze us because we think, oh, we don't have enough people. We don't have the right systems. We don't have enough budget money in order to pull this off. But I would venture to say, like, I handwrite 3 thank you notes a week to volunteers at all of our campuses. The 3 thank you notes tops take me 20 minutes. And a lot of stuff I'm writing in the thank you notes, I didn't actually see these people do, but I'm writing specific. Dear Joanna, thank you for this week for staying 30 minutes extra in the baby's room because the second service volunteer showed up late.
Yeah.
Well, we have a system in place that our campus coordinators know when they see someone going the extra mile, they're going to shoot me a text with it in there. I don't have to be the one that writes them a letter.
I love that.
They can write the note as well. But we now have this collection of people that did great things over the weekend that we're handwriting notes to.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like little things like that that shift the dynamic. And like we said, the people in your ministry are your biggest recruiters.
Yeah.
Now Joanna's going to go tell her friend that's on the greeting team or just some random person that's in one of her small groups, hey, my pastor sent me a letter and thanked me for being there for 30 minutes extra. Because the reality of the fact is Joanna could have been like, deuces, I'm out. My time ended at 9:30. Like, good luck with this. But once you build that culture where people show up early, they stay late, they're going the extra mile, they're owners of your ministries and not just renters. So they walk past a sheet of paper, they pick it up because they take value in it.
Yeah. It sounds like what you're doing is you are demonstrating for your volunteers what you want your volunteers to do for their few, you know, for the kids in your ministry.
Right.
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 If you want your volunteers to be showing up randomly in their kids' lives by maybe going to a soccer practice one Saturday, maybe by writing them a handwritten card saying, I had so much fun talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Warriors. Do they still talk about that?
I was going to say, I think you just dated yourself.
Teenage
there,
Mutant
just a
Ninja
bit.
Warriors. I put two things together.
I was going to say,
dated one.
Tell me about these new warriors because I thought
that
they were
was
turtles.
A Phoebe moment once again. Gina's crushing it today. But I like, you know, because that's one of the points that I know you've made, TiVo, is it's got to be in you first. You know, it has to be in you first. And when it's in you, when you bleed the culture, that's what gives the volunteer something to emulate, something to reproduce.
And you're producing raving fans of your ministry. Like all these, when you are doing for them what you want them to do for the kids in your ministry, I think that is huge. And we want our volunteers to speak so positively about their experience because of the culture that you have set, because you've had the right systems. They got the right people to build into them, that they are now a walking billboard for your ministry, that everybody they come into contact with inside your church or outside their church, they're like, you have to come to my church, or you have to serve in our children's ministry because boom, 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 because of all the things that you're talking about regarding your culture. And I think some of the questions that we can just kind of land on here when it comes to culture, when you just stop to think about it, is just to say, you know, do my volunteers love coming and serving in our ministry? Like, truly, it's a joy for them to come. Or do they have a relationship with me or someone else on my team? Or do they have a relationship with other people they are serving with? Do they feel prepared? Do they feel valued? Do they feel like they're set up to succeed? And do they feel like they are heard? And I think if you can answer those questions, say, yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's a result of the culture based upon the right systems. So all this stuff that you talked about today, it all bleeds over together. And when it's working,
it's a beautiful thing. This ministry is so amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Right.
And when you have all these raving fans of this culture, you've now taken the pressure off what we sometimes feel as leaders, is that this is all riding on me to find the right people and to find all the right position. And now you've taken that off because you set a culture that begins to grow beyond you to do that.
That's good. Awesome. So there are ministry leaders right now who are listening, and they're recognizing a few of these things, and they're going, okay, I've got those in place. We're doing those things. It's good, you know. And then I imagine there are some who are listening, and they're going, I don't even know where to start. You know, I don't know that I have right systems. I don't know that I have right people right now, and I definitely don't have the culture that I want. So where do I start? Where do I begin? What would we say to them?
I would say that you can't build culture, you have to be the culture. So I think, and as cliche and cheesy as that sounds, once you start activating and operating, like you said, the trickle down effect. So we want our small group leaders to lead small, so we have to lead small as ministry leaders as well. If that means you have to sacrifice a lunch break one day to sit down with a volunteer and to just pour into them, I guarantee you that hour that you're sacrificing is going to be multiplied and bless you tenfold type of thing. Because like the whole Mark 4, chapter 4, 26 through 29, where it talks about the planting of the seeds in the soil. The thing is, the seed's only as good as the soil that it's planted in. And so once you get this piece, I think that it's like the result of it is limitless. So once you get this piece, the seed in the soil, the culture follows, because you're plowing the field, you're setting the tone, you're basically modeling what you want your people to do. And so I'd say start with one person and pray for that domino effect. That one person goes to one person, and then you start with another person. Yep. And it's a very slow way. Like we said, you can't build it overnight.
Right.
You have to be the culture, but doing it one by one, person by person, I think ultimately will have that great end result.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's great. And again, I would add to that, I think it starts with evaluation of honestly evaluating your current systems that you have in place. And then, like you just said, Tivo, starting with let's just start with this one. And again, Rome wasn't built in a day, neither is your culture. So it's going to take time and consistency. So anyways, well, great stuff. Tivo, thank you so much. That's a lot to process. That's I could go grab lunch right now and just sit there and think about, okay, how does this look like in our church to do that? So Tivo, thanks so much for hanging out with us today, man, and sharing. We really do appreciate it.
Awesome. It's been great to be with you guys.
All right. Well, and thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. And as always, if you've liked what you've heard and you want to hear more, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And while you're at it, hey, leave us a rating. And if you're so kind, would you leave us a review as well? Because it really does help get the word out about the podcast. So, Gina?
Yep.
There's no Kellen.
There's no Kellen.
Which we didn't have a ditty on the last episode. I'd hate to go another episode without a ditty.
Well,
so
looks like it's up to you, Mr. Mike, because I don't ditty.
One day we're going to get Gina to ditty, so nobody wants that. Nobody can do that but Kellen. So
he really does only hold that space.
He really holds that space. So we're going to let him have that space, and we'll maybe try again on the next episode to do that, okay? All right, thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next time on the Orange Kids Podcast.